Praying Through the Bible, message number 299. I have three children graduating this weekend. I don't know where I'll be next Wednesday night. If the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. That's three children graduating from college. By the grace of God. And so I am supposed to make that. However, by the grace of God, I am wrapping up this series next Wednesday night. And before we normally drive, it is a long haul. And on Monday, we're wrapping up, I believe, 365 days straight of family devotions. And one side of me says, just stay home and wrap these up, get these, wrap these milestones up for the glory of God. And, I've seen two of the children graduate before, but we have one that I have not seen. So one side of me says, go. So you pray for me as I am in a quandary. I am in a strait betwixt two, I have a conundrum. Let's read the Word of God. How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer, Part 23, Praying Through the Bible, Message 299. And I did not think about that until I started praying tonight. But be that as it may, the Bible reads tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer. Do you pray? Be honest before God. Do you pray always? I'm here to tell you, I had a fantastic day. One of those days that when you wrap up everything, you have a great sense of satisfaction, a great sense of a burden lifted, a great sense of peace, and a great sense of victory and celebration. And I did celebrate a little bit earlier today, and I'm going to celebrate a little bit more tonight for what God blessed us to get done today. Amazingly. Truly, and we give him the glory, praise, and honor. We thank God for the people whose hearts he touched to make this a wonderful, joyful, happy, laugh every minute, amicable situation that just worked out heavenly. There's no other way to put it. And I remembered some weak prayers I prayed about it, and that it would go that way. And to be honest with you, they were weak prayers. They were one was a silent prayer. I remember that. And I prayed one out loud and a few more. And God heard those feeble prayers because a whole lot of moving parts had to line up for this day to be as wonderful and as perfect as it was, and I am so glad that I have some witnesses to that fact. Praying always is a powerful thing, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the Spirit. Do not pray without your for real prayer partner, the Holy Spirit of God, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul said, and pray for me. I would ask the congregation here tonight and those of you who are participating online, we don't say watching, because I'm not here for you to watch. I'm not a television show. If you come here and you're live, you're participating. It's just like you're here. And we treat you that way. We don't beg you for money, but we treat you as family and a part of the church family here. wherever you are in the world. Russia, Israel, Philippines, North Korea, South Korea, China, wherever you might be, we thank God for your presence. And I want you to pray for me. I want everybody to whisper a prayer right now for the preacher. And wherever you are, some of you are in Bible study and prayer meeting. You've been going faithfully for years now, and you still, you shouldn't do so, but you pull out your phone when you hear about me being live, or you get a notification of me being live. You need to pray. And then you need to shut that phone off and listen to the preacher in front of you, right there at your local church. And for me, Paul said, make sure you pray for me. See, praying is not playing, my beloved. Praying is not playing. Many of us think that prayer is not for real. It's very real. I have thousands of stories I can tell you. To let you know that God is real and that prayer, God answers prayer, even the feeblest prayer. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You need help to present the gospel because it is a mystery. It's just out of the blue. Literally, out of the blue. The gospel is beyond our comprehension. The gospel is beyond our feeble, finite minds to grasp outside of the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of God helping people to understand it. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul understood his office and his position, even though he was in jail. He carried himself with the royalty of heaven and with dignity and full of faith, even though he was in jail. Some of us, if a police officer pulls us over, we become indignant and we're ready to cuss somebody out. And that ought not to be the case. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we ought to understand that we represent Christ. Amen, somebody. And one of the main things you ought to be doing as an ambassador is praying. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for others, pray for the preacher, and pray for lost people, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Holy Father God, we are weary, we are tired, as you know. It's been a long day with less sleep, and that's okay. And so we are, as always, totally dependent upon you, your Holy Spirit's power. We are weak, we are nothing, we can't do anything without you. And we pray that you would rejuvenate us, revive us, and restore us and forgive us of our sins and make us vessels fit for your use. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, once again. For the 299th time, Lord, I just find that fascinating and amazing that you've allowed this poor preacher to preach on prayer every Wednesday night for 299 weeks. Lord, I just give you the glory, praise, and honor. And we thank you that the good thing about it is those messages are all over the internet, all over the world. Some in multiple languages. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We pray that millions would hear the gospel, be saved. Millions of Christians would be encouraged to pray in the deepest, dark places of the world. And we hear from many, many people who are in trouble and who are being persecuted and going through difficult times serving you. And we pray that you would help them to continue to pray and to pray always and to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long but wonderful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus Christ said men ought, gave a principle and a parable, if you will, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, the Word of God said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You're going to need it. Some of you are under the circumstances instead of being over the circumstances because you refuse to pray without ceasing. My sons and I were together and taking care of some business today, and a lady younger than me but much older, I think, than my oldest son, and bless her heart, she's trying to raise three children by herself, and she indicated that it was rough, and it is. And what she needs to do is bury her face in her hands, if you will, not cry, but pray. And that's all you can do. In many situations in life, all you can do is pray. And then you might be able to do something else because God will instruct you. You heard me pray earlier. I didn't mean to pray it, but I prayed it. And that is, we take for granted and we don't appreciate God's leadership, guidance, and direction. I'm here to tell you, it's after salvation, it is one of the most valuable gifts and blessings that he gives us. And you get that guidance, you get that protection, you get that direction, you get that enlightenment, that wisdom, that light is turned on when you are in a conundrum. I can't get many amens. When you are perplexed, when you are taken aback, it's time to pray. And I'm here to tell you, if you are a child of God, and I know I have a million plus witnesses, I'm not telling some people anything new. They know that they know what I'm talking about, that God will lead you, guide you, and direct you every step of the way. Amen, somebody. He'll do it for you. Down, and what I love about God is down to the smallest detail. God's got your back. God's got you covered. But you got to acknowledge God first. Seek God first. Love God back. Trust in God. Get counsel from him. Pray to him without ceasing. And God will guide you ever so slowly sometimes right where he wants you to be. And God will raise up people and they will appear like angels because they're not as evil as they could be. Listen to me very carefully. I'm talking about white folk, Some of you black folk are cutting off, listen to me very carefully, you're cutting off your nose despite your face out here marching and protesting. Is there racism in the world? Yes, there's racism and prejudice everywhere. You need to block that out and start praying. And I'm here to tell you that God will raise up some white folk that can help you better than your own family, and will do so with a smile and happy to do it. I'm talking about some lost white folk, people who are not even saved. And some of you racist people out there, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. For there's some black folk and some brown folk can do some things that you can't do. And they can flat get it done, and some of them can't even speak. When I pause like that, I know I'm preaching good. Some of these folks can't speak the Queen's English or the King's English. They don't understand a word you are saying, but they know what you need. Amen, somebody. And they'll hook you right up with the quickness while you're still trying to figure out stuff. You better stop looking down your nose at people. Because Brother Sammy Madison said one time that the folk you looking down your nose at while you're climbing the ladder to success, when you fall back down, you're going to see those same people on your way down. And you don't climb back down, you fall down. You hit your head and you hit your arm and you break your leg coming down. And those same people are going to be looking at you coming down. You thought you were better than me when you went climbing your ladder, didn't you? Okay. All right. Let's look at you now. Oh, you need, what? You need some help? Okay, you need, help me up. You have fallen. You can't get up? Okay. Okay. All right. All righty then. I see you. Okay, just give me a minute. Let me go take care of somebody else over here who did not look down their nose at me. Let me take care of them first, and then I'll come back and help you. I'm not going to be like you. And there'll be some brown folk and some black folk, some red folk, that you thought you were better than, and then the person who delivers you from your conundrum, from your mess, is somebody you hated because of the color of their skin. You better start praying. And watch this. See, this is why some folk don't want to pray. When you pray right with God, and you know you got some mess in your heart towards people, hear me and hear me well. God is going to make sure that he sends the person over to help you that you despise, that you don't like. Oh, yes. And God is looking at you. He wants to see what you're going to say now. And what you better say is, please help me, because I'm in trouble. There's nothing like trouble that will humble people down. Doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and black folk and white folk and red folk and yellow folk and dentists and pharmacists and graduates of Harvard and Yale. When the flood comes, even if there's a Confederate flag on the boat, you better get your behind in there. And we'll talk about that later. And get to dry land. Even if there's a so-called African-American flag in there, you better get your behind in the boat. When God sends that boat by, you will drown. And folks, there's some things you can't wiggle your way out of. Amen, somebody. And God, I'm telling you, I guarantee it, God, if you're a racist, you're a white racist, God is going to send a big black man in his boat. He's going to lift you and your wife and your little children up into the boat. I guarantee it, as sure as I'm black. Some of you black racists, when you pray for help, It's going to be a white man. His hat's going to be turned on backwards. He's going to have a Confederate flag on his hat. Ku Klux Klan gear in the back of the boat. And he said, come on, get in. You better get in there very fast. And don't say a word. And go on the dry ground. And this is what you need to do when you get out of the boat. Say thank you. Thank you, sir. Because I guarantee you God's going to send them by. That dude, we got a tomahawk haircut. Hat turned on backwards. Never had a suit on in his life. If you gave him a suit, you put it on backwards. Sleeves are cut off. Short pants on. Room short in his mouth. Some old flip-flops on. Get in. I got to go. Get in quick. When you pray, God's going to send some folk by that you least expect. Oh, yes. He's going to help you. But he's going to test you as well. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this series, as you know, is to encourage you to pray. To challenge you to pray, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, and when he gives you an answer, because he might give you an answer that you don't like, you better take it. When he tells you what you ought to do about the situation, you better do it. Your answers, my beloved, may not be what you think they ought to be. But when God, listen to me, I guarantee you this, if you're a child of God, God will answer your prayers. If you're willing to confess your sins and repent, because the first thing he may tell some of you is get right with a family member. You know, we got these spouses who think they can be right with God. Listen to me carefully. They're in church tonight. They tickle me. They think they can be right with God and be so tight with God and hate their spouse's guts. They will announce to the family and to that spouse who never prays, I'm going to my closet, my prayer closet to pray. Do not disturb me for the next 5 hours. Lying hypocrite. They go in there and read magazines and everything else. But they hate their spouse so much. Yet they think they can be right with God. You know how I know they're not praying? They're not praying because their heart is not right with God, because their heart is not right with their spouse. And as soon, listen to me very carefully, I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. As soon as you start praying, God's going to say, are you right with that family member? You say, how is he going to tell me that? He's going to raise up a picture of that family member right in front of your face while you're praying with your eyes closed. Don't tell me he won't do it. There was a season in my early Christian life when I, my pastor and I got at odds with each other about some things, and I was his favorite preacher, and he tried to tell me something, and I didn't want to listen. And I didn't talk with him for a while after I had left and gotten out the Air Force many years ago. And I didn't know what God was doing, but we left pretty good. It was not a bad rift. And so I thought everything was all right. But months and weeks and months and years went going by. And every time I tried to pray, God would raise his picture right up in my face. And I didn't know what God was doing, but he was basically saying to me, I'm not going to use you the way I want to use you until you get right with him. Doesn't matter whether you think he's right or wrong. You are the younger. I want you to go back and make that right. This was over almost 30 years ago. And God gave me the opportunity to do it. went down there and apologized to him, made things right. Pastor, out of his own pocket, gave me about $600 cash on my, when I was leaving. We just had a hug and a shouting good time and gave God the glory. And God has blessed my life ever since because I went back and got it right. And some of you wives, some of you husbands need to get it right. Some of you children need to get it right. Some of you parents need to get it right because you're spinning your wheels in the prayer closet. Because you hate your own family member. You lie to your own family member. That's a deal breaker, by the way, my friends. I'm going to let you in on something that I thought about recently. I'm not going to say God told me this. But there's one sin that I don't think we as human beings really, truly forgive. We say we forgive it, but we never forget it. Never. And we will always look askance at that person. Always. Anytime they say something, our eyes go like this. They scrunch up. What? You look at them askance. Why? Because it is a very terrible thing for a family member or a friend to lie to you. That's a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker because we try to make it a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker because it is a deal breaker. So, well, you know, we ought to forgive it. And you know, people will forgive it, but they're not going to forget it. And so I don't think that's totally forgiven. Because they're going to always look at you funny. Or not deal with you at all. Be that as it may, my beloved, we have highlighted, by the grace of God, each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. And it is a work in progress. It is complete, as it is right now, but it is a work in progress. By the time it is done, it will probably be 3,000 pages, I would imagine. So far, by the grace of God, we have completed 299 messages in this series. This is message number 299, titled, How to Win That Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer. Another long series within a long series, but so vital and so important. This is part 23. Brother Max Licato said, our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble, isn't that right? But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference, and God hears and answers our prayers. Amen, somebody. Like I told you earlier, my prayers were weak about a situation I had to deal with and face today, and there was no human reason why it should have been successful. I'm telling you, believe me when I tell you that. But God intervened big time and made it a wonderful, complete, satisfying, burden-lifting situation for everybody involved. God will do it for you. As we have considered, beloved, the types of prayer that we should employ in spiritual warfare, bouncing from what Paul said, praying always with all prayer, that means all types of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Spiritual warfare, that's what we're in. That's what we faced today. But God intervened and made all of the things to fall in place. Right in the nick of time, God worked it out, and He'll do it for you. Have you noticed that every day it's something now? I'm talking to folk who are really trying to serve the Lord and who are praying, reading the Bible, and trying to witness for the Lord. Have you noticed that every day is something? You think that you might have a little day where you can just sit back in your easy chair and watch whatever you want to watch and sip some tea or some lemonade or something else. And it's always something. You have to get ready for something. You got to deal with something. See, I believe that's going to increase as the last days come upon us. The smart people are ratcheting things down, and they are moving towards a minimalist lifestyle. And even then, however, you still got things to deal with. And what we need to do is pray more. Pray without ceasing. Now, let me just tell you, if you don't start praying without ceasing and praying always, the wheels are going to come flat off in your life, in your marriage, in your family. It's going to be rough going forward. By the grace of God, beloved, as we have considered the types of prayer that we should employ in spiritual warfare, we have discussed the prayer of faith. Don't even pray if you're not going to have faith in God. And all you need is a little mustard seed size faith. And then the prayer of agreement. I think it was this morning I was talking about those who pray together. The prayer of request, or the supplication, or supplication. And then the prayer of intercession, praying for other people. And quite frankly, if you don't spend any time interceding for others, you're really not praying. You have not experienced prayer and the benefits of prayer and the power of prayer until you spend quality time praying for other people. And that's real. The prayer of thanksgiving. I was in a place of business. My son and I were in a place of business yesterday, and I shared this with the folks in our family, White House Family Devotions. You're not praying either unless you're thankful. Thank you. Unless you are thankful to God. Godly Christians are thankful. People who are close to God are extremely thankful. Thankful. I was in this little place of business, a home run business. I'm just amazed at the husbands and wives in Texas who work together. It's a marvelous, a beautiful thing. And I believe it strengthens their marriage. Some people say, oh, I could never work with my husband. I could never work with my wife. I think it's the best thing you can do is start a family business. We had to go to their house. They got a real serious business, but in the front, they built the front house part of the house. That's the business, like walking into a store. And this was over to the side. I didn't go in to get this. I just noticed it, and it was not even for sale. And I just said, ma'am, if you don't mind, may I ask you, how much would you charge me to buy this wood carving? And bless her heart, she could have charged me $25, $40. She said, I'll sell it to you for $5. I said, I'll take it. You know why? Because I have a very thankful heart. I don't have a thankful heart because of me. I have a thankful heart because of God. Be thankful, people. You're always thinking about your issues, your problems, your troubles. Do you ever stop and think about the blessings that God has bestowed upon you? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done, but it shouldn't surprise you. You ought to start your prayers with thanksgiving, not just during Thanksgiving week, not just on Thanksgiving Day, which is a big deal in the white family, but every day is Thanksgiving around here. I'm amazed at how good God has been to all of us. And then the prayer of worship. The prayer of worship. The prayer of consecration. The private prayer. Praying alone. Someone said, if you don't ever pray alone, please don't pray with anybody else. Amen, somebody. You might be a hypocrite. And then silent prayer. There are times when it's best to, I didn't say have a moment of silence. I don't know what that is. I have no clue. That's what worldly people and governmental people do. A moment of silence. That's nothing. That's a nothing burger. Nothing. A moment of silence means nothing. Don't participate in a moment of silence. Don't participate in that. You pray to God. And if you're confused, I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can somebody say amen? If you're still confused, I'm talking about the God of your grandmother and your great-grandmother. If they're still living, they can help you find that God. The only God. The prayer of forgiveness. And the prayer of contemplation. Today, and we won't be much longer, for message 299 in this long series, preached every Wednesday night, I guess, for over 5+ years, almost 6 years, I guess. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at another form of prayer, as God led me to shut it down short last week, and that is praying in the Spirit. Beloved, in our last message, we saw that praying in the Spirit is essentially an act of reliance upon God and a surrendering of our will to God in prayer. And letting, as the old saints used to say, God have his way in your prayer life. And let him help you and give you the words to pray, Daniqua. We cannot be striving with the Holy Spirit of God if we want to pray in the Spirit. Striving meaning striving to pray what we want to pray. When the Holy Spirit is lovingly trying to nudge us to pray in a different way and to look at things differently. Now, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he's going to do that. And he's going to change. See, the benefit, folks don't talk about this much, but the grand benefit of prayer is how that God will lead you in different directions once you start praying, even in the prayer. And God will give you different perspectives, or a different perspective on a situation, while you are praying. If you read throughout the Bible, there are several times when people were actually praying. God told Joshua, get up. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Get up. Everybody who prays a little bit knows what I'm talking about. That you can start praying and the Holy Spirit will redirect your prayer and you'll be praying things you've never prayed before, you never thought about. And then while you're doing that, God will be giving you a new perspective on things. And so people don't understand oftentimes that when you pray, it's more about God changing you than you changing your situation. Can somebody say amen if you got it? If prayer to God is not helping you to change, my beloved, well, how do you expect God to change other people and other situations? Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. How can God answer your prayers about changing your husband and you still mean as the devil? Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. You have not changed in 20 years. But yet you want your husband to change. And you have prayed for your husband, you say. And you got your girlfriend praying for your husband, you say. And all you're doing is gossiping about your husband and making your husband look bad in front of your girlfriends so they can look knowingly at him when he comes in the church, whenever he does come, to the point where he doesn't want to come anymore. All because of you praying with your girlfriends about your husband and gossiping about him and telling everything about him, even to the pastor's wife. Don't you get mad with me and don't you turn me off. You know I'm telling the truth. And most men, if I know men, they're not going to tolerate that, and they're just not going to go into a situation where they're going to be embarrassed because you done told everything about you and your husband when it's none of their business, and you ought to be praying for your husband and keep your mouth shut and your blog shut. Same thing, vice versa. Why you want your spouse to change, you want your children to change, but you have not changed in 25 years. But yet you're such a great prayer warrior. No growth, no taking heed to the word of God, no taking heed to the chastening hand of God. God is giving you wake-up calls and you refuse to repent. If we are to obey the command in Ephesians 6:18 to pray with all prayer in the Spirit, we must understand that praying in the Spirit is like having a divine prayer partner. And it's not like it, it is. When you think about what you are doing when you pray, talking to God, whom you have never seen with your eyes, you have never heard with your ears, you have never touched with your hands, and couldn't do any of those things if you tried, you will see why the Holy Spirit's help in prayer is so essential. Amen, somebody. You need God's help, big time. In the midst of a spiritual battle, it can be easy, or rather it can be easy for the devil to discourage us from praying to the invisible God. Because he wants to get us fighting what we can see, flesh and blood, instead. And that's what's wrong in most marriages and most families today. The devil got you right where he wants you, fighting each other, battling each other, foolishly thinking that flesh and blood is your problem, and the devil is behind it all, orchestrating it like a maestro from hell. And by the way, The devil loves cacophony. Cutting, shooting, cussing, violence, hatred. There he is in that household. His stuff does not sound heavenly. It's hellish. And as long as he can keep you all fighting each other and instigating stuff and planning stuff and plotting stuff and fussing at each other and hateful towards one another, not doing what you ought to be doing, and all of us know what we should be doing for many reasons that I don't have time to get into. Watch these people in your family and in the church. These people who don't like order. These people who don't like peace. They're of their father, the devil. These people who will lie and look you straight in your eye. There are people, listen to me. Listen to me. There are people in the world today who can look you dead in your eyes with the eyes wide open and tell you 10 lies without blinking. That's demonic. These people who like cacophony, these people who cacophony. That sounds too wonderful. That's why I say cacophony. Just a bunch of, they love, listen to me, watch these people who love chaos. Do you hear me? These people who love chaos, they are of the devil. People who like to keep some mess going. Instigators. I call them terrorists, the tares in your church, the tares in your family, the Judases in your family. They love it. They love confusion. They love not seeing things done on time and orderly and with excellence. It's demonic. The devil is behind it. Instead of praying, they just plot and plan for things to fail. The devil is guiding them to do that. Oh, I know you don't believe in the devil. Well, if you believe the Bible, you have got to believe what God said about the devil. This is spiritual warfare, and you need to be praying instead of playing. But if we are relying on the Holy Spirit of God to give us power in prayer, we can persevere in supplication because we are doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. By relying on the power of the Holy Spirit when we pray, we will gain a humble boldness when we make our requests before God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen, somebody, to the word of God. When our intent is to do the will of God, there is no timidity in our prayers because we are simply expressing our heart's desire before God. Heart's desires that he already knows. By the way, because he put it there. See, this is the wonderful thing about God. Anything good that comes out of you, like the desire to pray, that's God, people. The devil is not going to tell you to pray. You don't want to pray. So when you move to pray, I can assure you that's God Almighty. I'm not talking about in front of other people. I'm talking about in the car by yourself. I'm talking about in your easy chair at the house by yourself while the grandchildren are playing in the den. And you know how much danger that they're in, and you start praying. You cut the television off and you start praying. Or you take off your headphones and you start praying. Nobody knows it but God. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones said, "Do not claim, do not demand, but let your requests be made known to God, let them come from your heart. God will understand. Pray urgently. Plead. Use all the arguments. Use all the promises. But do not demand and do not claim. Never put yourself into the position of saying, if we but do this, then that must happen. And we got many people who do this, man. I'm afraid of folk like this. Now, just humble yourself and pray to God. Stop demanding things. Stop talking crazy like, I command this to go here. People, some of y'all need to stop watching so-called Christian television. Your life is messed up by listening to all of that stuff that has no grounding in the Word of God whatsoever. You can't command anything. You're not God. You need to pray to God and let Him command demons and so forth. He's the only one who can handle them. You don't have that kind of authority. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ and let God do it for you. God is a sovereign Lord, and these things are beyond our understanding. Yes, beloved, praying in the Spirit also entails understanding that sometimes what we want will not come to pass. That's deep for many of us today, because we want what we want. We get upset if we don't get what we want quickly. Well, God is not the McDonald's attendant. God is not the Burger King attendant that you drive by and demand that they do it, get your food and get it quickly. I will say that I don't care how long, let me just tell you this little piece of advice. I don't care how long the Chick-fil-A line is, just get in it. You'll be all right. That's free. Just get in it. I don't care if it's wrapped around Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, and Wendy's. Just get in it. You'll get your food fast enough. That's free. Has nothing to do with the message. But my point is, you can't have it your way. For the hymn writer said, this is my Father's world. It's not yours. You need to do what He tells you to do. And you need to learn how to wait on Him. And whether you learn how to wait on Him or not, you will wait. Because this is my Father's world. It's not yours. And it's not mine. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our companion, and our teacher. He will lead us in understanding the purpose of God and accepting His will in time to come. Now, this is deep. No, you're not going to get everything you want. You're going to get what is best for you. None of my children always got what they wanted, and they couldn't understand why. Two of my children who are living on their own now, they didn't understand why I wouldn't give them certain things and do certain things. Growing up, now they're thankful. They text me on Mother's Day and wish me a happy Mother's Day. They appreciate my discipline. In fact, one of them, even when she was young, she had the wisdom to understand the importance of chastisement and rebuke for doing wrong. And she would write me letters saying, thank you, Papa, for giving us a whipping today. That's the same thing I said when God chastised me. We don't understand what God is doing all of the time. We would like for things to go this way and that way. Our way. But the Holy Spirit of God will comfort you and help you to understand why things turn out the way they do. and why God answers the prayers in the way he does. And he'll give you peace to accept it as it is. Stop trying to pray in your own strength, praying in the flesh. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to help you pray. It will make all the difference in your spiritual life and in spiritual battle and warfare. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for our time together once again on a Wednesday night. For 299 times. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor for your holy word and for everybody who helps me in the ministry. And for they have done a great job tonight, and they have worked hard and helped 299 times. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to get to this point. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to go on. Encouraging people to pray. Challenging people to pray. Yes, Lord, even motivating folks to pray. To whisper a prayer. For just in a whispered prayer, Lord, you can come down and deliver a family. Or deliver an individual. Or heal a sick body. Or open a great door. For you've done it for me. You've done it for our family. And you've done it for millions of others. Lord, so help those who are just starting out regarding prayer to understand that and to walk by faith and not by sight. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Now, Lord, save that soul that's near as hell. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, like millions of other folk do, such as myself, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, please understand and accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment always for sin. You cannot break God's law, just like you can't break man's law, and think that you're going to get away with it. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically. I was in a parking lot somewhere today, and I saw old ladies, old men, husbands, and wives walking down the steps ever so gingerly, holding on to the rail. I saw a wife helping her husband, older people. They're dying. We're all dying. And you know dying is a tragedy. Those of you who have been to funerals of loved ones, they were here yesterday, they're going into the grave tomorrow. It still shocks the system, doesn't it? Well, that's the wages of sin. I know it's not comfortable. I know you don't like to hear it, but that's what it is. And we're so wicked. We have such a wicked, sinful nature that we try to accommodate death. And you can't accommodate death. Death will change you forever because it was not supposed to be. We caused death with our rebelliousness, our meanness, our hatefulness, our racism, our stubbornness, our lust, our adultery, our fornication, our lying, our dishonesty, our deceit. That brings on disease and death. And our sinful nature is so wicked that we try to cope with disease, sickness, and death. But it's the wages of sin. You can't cope with it. I was with two people yesterday, and they were getting into the car. They're older than I am, about 30 years older than I am. And they said, "Boy, I tell you, getting old as hell." And I said, "I know. Not as much as you know, but I know." Why? It's sin. I know the world does not want to accept it, but that's what it is. We're dying because of sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sin. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You don't believe that there's a hell? I believe that hell is in the center of the earth. And because the Bible calls hell the lake of fire. Just look over at Hawaii and you see the lake of fire that many people believe is getting ready to explode big time. So at least you must understand that there is something that can be called a lake of fire. And that's where you're going if you don't trust Christ as Savior. You say, "Well, I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist, I'm not a believer. Surely God is not going to cast me into hell, I don't believe in anything." Oh, yes, he will. You will go if you don't trust Christ as Savior. You say, "Well, who else will go to hell?" I'm glad you asked. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful," people too afraid to get saved because they are afraid of what people might think of them. "And the unbelieving," people who are agnostics and atheists. I was just talking to you. Agnostics, atheists, people who don't believe in God. They brag about it until they're facing the gates of hell on their deathbed. "And the abominable," these are cruel, mean, and hateful, and nasty people. Monstrous people. People who will not only rape a woman, but cut her head off and her limbs off and package it up and send it to somebody. Abominable people and murderers and whoremongers. We have learned that we have a whole bunch of whoremongers in our society. Don't look at anybody else, look at yourself. We got a whoremongering men and whoremongering women who are whores. And sorcerers. You say, "Oh, preacher, you ought not to say that in polite company." No, we got whoremongers and whores in the world and in the church. And sorcerers, people who practice voodoo and witchcraft and follow the zodiac. People who do seances and get on Ouija boards and call up demons. And idolaters. People who put anything or anybody before God. And if God didn't get you in these other categories, he's got you on this one. And all liars. I believe everybody besides Jesus Christ has told a lie. Every human being has told a lie. Some people lie more than others. But I believe everybody has told a lie. Even if it's a facial expression that you're trying to fool people with. The Bible says, "All liars and all of these other sinners shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And what you see coming out of the earth is fire and brimstone. I believe hell is in the center of the earth. Many other people do as well. But it does not matter where the lake of fire is. You are not the one to go there. And you don't have to. For that is bad news. Hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news. I believe one of the most frightening things ever seen on earth is a volcano eruption. The Bible says that hell expands itself. Could it be that hell is getting so full that it has to expand itself and the ashes come up through the earth? I don't know. All I'm saying is, I don't care where hell is. I don't care where the lake of fire is. I don't want to go there. It is frightening to see that to anybody with any sense. You say, I just would like to go there and see it face to face, you know, as a natural occurrence and so forth and so on, and take some notes. No. You can't even go near there. You'll burn up. Hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. His name is Jesus Christ. He said this to you and to me, all of us living today, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, in hell or the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. I want you to get this. This is the good news, spoken by none other than Jesus Christ himself. He was speaking about himself. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, in hell or the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. You want to avoid that perishing in hell thing, my friend, and get into everlasting life with God and with Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And he will save your soul. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to be saved tonight? It is as simple as that. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue that you have no control over. You don't have to give any money to the church. None of that. Just put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to have mercy on your soul and save your soul from hell and save you to heaven to be with God throughout eternity. If you're willing to trust Christ as Savior tonight, follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have lusted after people and things before. I have coveted what they have. I have lied before. And I have stolen before. And Lord, that's just three of the commandments that I've broken. I've broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And forgive me of all of my sins that I have committed against you, as I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. and turn from our old and sinful life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life and I really mean that. If you prayed tonight and you believed on Christ, you've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. He really does. We love you too. And may God bless you real good. Until next time, Lord willing, we'll be right here or somewhere preaching on prayer for the 300th time for the glory of God on a Wednesday night. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for being there. Thousands of you have been there for us live and on demand, praying with us and praying for us. You're just as much a part of this. Invite all of your friends for the number 300 celebration next Wednesday, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. And let's give God the praise and the glory together.